You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 13th of January 2021 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, unfortunately Dr. Johnson is a bit ill at the moment, so we don't have an Orthodox Nationalist for you later. We do have an episode of Greatest Britons that we're going to play for you, and hopefully Dr. Johnson will be well enough to do the live programme with me tomorrow. Well, the clampdown on the internet is continuing. The mass censorship and removal of all alternative thinkers is continuing. Today, the Daily Stormer was removed completely from the internet. And I'm sure listeners will remember the last time this happened. They effectively removed the Daily Stormer from the internet backbone and removed the website from Google searches, so you had to type the address in. They effectively stole the domain name of dailystormer.com, and I think the workaround that they had to do to remain online, they had to have all these different servers everywhere, so the site was moving from one server to another, and they had to get a different domain name, .name or .su. Anyway, they managed to work some way around it, although they still weren't appearing in the site rankings. And now it appears they've gone from the internet altogether. I mean, whatever you think of Andrew Anglin's editorial style, to remove somebody's ability to talk to people, it just goes so against everything that we're told democracy is built upon. So long as people aren't calling for violence, and the Daily Stormer has a very clear policy on no advocation of violence, I don't believe Andrew Anglin is actually residing in America, but he makes certain that the site sticks to American law, and yet he's been removed. And clearly, he's not actually using the usual hosting providers, the usual ISP providers, or any of that. It's all basically been built by his technical staff. So to be removing that, you can't really say, well, he's using a private company's facilities. It's not like the excuse, well, Twitter can remove people because it's a private company. What you had there with the Daily Stormer was effectively, the Daily Stormer was the private company, and yet it's still been removed. We're also seeing a massive clampdown on Telegram. I say a massive clampdown on Telegram. It could be that they are just really doing the right thing. There's been a call to get rid of channels that are calling for violence on Telegram. And the examples that I've seen so far of chat rooms that have been shut down have been calling for violence. And it does say in the Telegram terms of service that if you shouldn't be doing that on Telegram. That's not what it's for. It's a free speech platform. It's not a platform where people can break the law, basically. So hopefully the Telegram clampdown will just be on chat rooms that are advocating violence or terrorism. We will have to watch and see if there's any expansion on that. There's been more people that have been banned from Twitter. We're now seeing banks that are saying that they're banning Donald Trump. They're not going to work with Donald Trump any longer. And of course, we've always said that until this sort of thing starts happening to mainstream conservatives, nothing will be done about it, because this has been going on for the last 4 years with lots of alternative commentators. Mark Collette and Laura Towler, most recently had their bank accounts removed, and Mark was banned from Twitter. But just about every prominent voice going from the far right to the center right has pretty much been removed from social media at one point or another. And now what we're seeing is senators are being removed. The president has been removed, and their banking facilities are also being removed. And you can contrast this with these rulings that say that private cake companies have to bake a cake for homosexuals, even though it goes against their religious sensibilities. Yet if a baker has to bake a cake for homosexuals and say things he doesn't want to say, why is it that these internet companies can remove people for their political views? Again, it's another nonsensical part of the world that we're living in today. First news story that I've got today is to do with this. And again, it's completely contradictory. Twitter has spoken out in favour of free speech and against the shutdown of the internet. But in Uganda, Twitter's public policy department tweeted in opposition to reported efforts to shut down internet access ahead of Uganda's election this week, where President Yoweri Museveni is asking voters for a sixth term. He has been in office for 35 years. Incredible. Twitter speak out against the censoring of the internet in Uganda while they remove the president of America's ability to talk to his public. It's like they've cut his telephone lines and they think that's okay. And while they're doing that, they are condemning Uganda for doing the same. Last week, Twitter banned President Donald Trump from its platform permanently. It also continues to suspend and expel tens of thousands of Trump supporters. Twitter's main competitor, Parler, was also kicked off Amazon's servers. And it says here that they're suspending and expelling tens of thousands of Trump supporters. Trump has 88 million supporters on Twitter. Half the American population voted for Donald Trump and the Republican Party. They're effectively saying that half of America has now been designated as insurrectionists and domestic terrorists for supporting the established government. Don't forget, the Donald Trump administration is the established government. If Joe Biden actually gets in there, which I still have doubts that he will, because it is so obviously a fraudulent election result. I mean, all you have to do is look at the numbers of people following Joe Biden on Twitter, 20 million, and the numbers following Donald Trump, 88 million, to see who is the most popular out of the two of them. And that is with masses of Donald Trump's followers on Twitter being banned and being removed from there. He still had 88 million. And you can make a safe guess that most of that number of followers of Joe Biden was just put on there by Twitter, because you don't see so many of the tweets that are actually being liked. So Twitter is still banning people from Twitter. It looks like they're going to try and ban half of America, basically, doesn't it? If they're going to ban everyone that supports Donald Trump. And this is just a recipe for civil war. This week, however, Twitter stood up for free speech and the open internet, arguing that access to information and freedom of expression, including the public conversation on Twitter, is never more important than during democratic processes, particularly elections. I mean, they have to be laughing through their sides at us, putting out a message like this with the interference in the elections that they have caused. Just about every, before Donald Trump was banned, just about every tweet that he was sending out was being censored, had a little message alongside it. This claim is contested. The election was entirely above board. The election wasn't fraudulent. I mean, to counter signal the president of America when he is speaking to his people, the front that they have, it's just incredible. Chutzpah, I believe they call it. Twitter also specifically opposed the blocking of social media and messaging apps. So I guess they can say, we oppose the blocking of the app in its entirety, but we're quite happy to just block one political side. And don't forget, these companies were set up supposed to be for everybody to express themselves. YouTube was supposed to be about people expressing themselves and being able to communicate their views to everybody else. And now we're being told our views are not acceptable. Half the population of America's views are unacceptable and have to be removed. But on the other side of the world, in Uganda, the same company is apparently at the forefront there of trying to guarantee free speech. Before the November 2020 election, Twitter censored a New York Post story that exposed emails from the laptop of Hunter Biden, son of President-elect Joe Biden. The email suggested that then-Vice President Biden met with his son's business associate from the corrupt Ukrainian energy company, Burisma. And this is just incredible interference here. The silencing of an entire news story on a massive mainstream media newspaper like the New York Post, and Twitter effectively banned any mention of the New York Post for a week during the election, so that vast members of the voting public were unaware of this story that exposed corruption. They accused Donald Trump of benefiting from Russian interference in the previous election. But the naked, blatant interference that we have seen in this one from the social media companies is just never been seen before. It is so obviously that which is the threat to our democracy, not people attempting to occupy the capital. They're not a threat to democracy. That is democracy in action. When you see fraud and corruption occurring, you have no option but to carry out peaceful direct action. That's what the occupying of the capital was. It was peaceful direct action. As Dr. Patrick Slattery said on his program the other day, it should be called the Occupy Movement. It was the same as Occupy Wall Street. They were unarmed protesters. One of them was shot and killed by the security forces. The other deaths that occurred there were from medical emergencies, from pre-existing illnesses, pre-existing health complaints. That hasn't stopped the mainstream media from portraying it as the deadly riot or insurrection, as I pointed out yesterday. How can it be an insurrection when it was in support of the established government? It was in support of the Trump administration. It can't be insurrection. The very fact that the Democrats are now trying to impeach Trump, and their reason for impeaching him is because he apparently incited an insurrection, shows that they are in naked rebellion against the established government. It shows that the Democrats think that they are the established government. The Democrats think that Joe Biden is the president and that they are the established government. Otherwise, how else could they accuse Donald Trump, the actual president, of inciting an insurrection? It's an impossibility. They indict themselves by saying this. Other emails also described the Biden family's attempt to start a joint venture with a Chinese company, in which Joe Biden, the quote-unquote big guy, was to have received a 10% stake. And all this is exposure of corruption that Twitter covered up, that Twitter prevented the American public from being able to see. Why isn't Jack Dorsey in a prison cell now? Why is it that the people that tried to expose this are the ones being attacked in the mainstream media? Former Vice President Biden told reporters on the campaign trail in 2019 that he had never discussed his family's overseas business interests. Well, I'm sure he doesn't want to discuss his family's overseas business interests because they're all completely corrupt, as we've gone into here on numerous occasions, particularly with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson, if people want to go back and look up the episodes that we did on the Burisma scandal in Ukraine. It's not just Twitter, it's not just Facebook that are involved in the manipulation of what people learn about the world. We also have a story here that concerns Wikipedia. Wikipedia editors on Tuesday locked the page for President-elect Joe Biden's pick to lead the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division after users attempted to add references to a 1994 letter she authored suggesting that black people had superior physical and mental abilities. So what we have here is we have Wikipedia trying to memory hole this. They're trying to pretend that this doesn't exist. So anybody who puts this letter, the evidence for this letter, puts links to reports on it, anybody that puts that on the Wikipedia page will be censored. It's just like something out of Orwell's 1984, isn't it? The letter, authored by Kristen Clark, then an undergraduate student at Harvard, was highlighted on Monday by Fox News host Tucker Carlson. Please use the following theories and observations to assist you in your search for truth regarding the genetic differences between blacks and whites, Clark wrote in the letter. Clark said the differences included that black infants sit, crawl, and walk sooner than whites. Well, I would entirely agree with that. Black infants can actually hold their heads up from the minute they are born. White infants have to have their heads cradled until they get the strength to actually do that. And this is evidence of white people being different to black people. But then, she says, melanin gives blacks their superior physical and mental abilities. Absolutely incredible. Black people have an average IQ in America of 85. They have an average IQ in Africa of 75. And the reason why they have the average IQ of 85 in America is because their blood is mixed with white people's blood. They're not jet black like their African cousins are. And that's the reason why they have a slightly higher IQ. But it's still an average of just 85. They don't have superior mental abilities. There are many countries in Africa that have average IQs of 65, which by the accepted global IQ standard means they are retarded. Of course, they don't appear to be retarded because that's what their IQ is supposed to be. That's what it naturally is, because they are a different subspecies to Caucasians. These are facts. She says some scientists have revealed that most whites are unable to produce melanin because their pineal glands are often calcified or non-functioning. Pineal calcification rates with Africans are 5 to 15%, Asians 15 to 25%, and Europeans 60 to 80%. This is the chemical basis for the cultural differences between blacks and whites. I don't think that more melanin is going to cause any difference to the IQ levels in whites. She reiterated her point in closing and added a spiritual component, writing, "Melanin endows blacks with greater mental, physical, and spiritual abilities, something which cannot be measured based on Eurocentric standards." Well, I think we can actually measure black people's standards just by looking back at history and looking and seeing the reports of them throughout history, which show that they didn't have a written language. They didn't develop a seaworthy boat. They didn't develop architecture. When you see cities or remains of cities in Africa, they were actually built by Arab slave traders. They weren't built by the black Africans. They have always had different ways of doing things. They may have some faster physical attributes. They may be able to run faster. They may be able to jump higher in basketball. And again, that is just evidence of the fact that they are a different race to white people. But the fact is here, she is claiming that it's this melanin, this magical melanin that gives blacks superior powers. And this woman has been picked by Joe Biden to lead the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division. She's obviously got a bone to pick against white people. And this should be publicly available. It shouldn't be removed from Wikipedia to try and pretend she never said it. Wikipedia editors locked Clark's page on Tuesday, just a day after Carlson aired a segment talking about Clark's letter, after users made several failed attempts to insert references to it on the page. The page, which was created in July and relatively young by Wikipedia standards, notes that Clark graduated from Harvard before obtaining her law degree from Columbia Law School in 2000. She led New York's Civil Rights Division under former Attorney General Eric Schneiderman, who was a rising Democratic star in the state before accusations of sexual abuse and harassment from numerous women forced him to step down in 2018. And we know that Wikipedia is guilty of this all the time. In Israel there, they even have a team of people that are watching Wikipedia all the time to check that nothing negative is said about the Jews. And if anything negative is said about the Jews on a page that concerns Jews, it gets censored. It's like when Jeffrey Epstein was arrested again and it was removed from the Wikipedia page that he was actually Jewish. There are all these different ways that these tech companies seek to manipulate reality, manipulate the way that we see the world. And people are waking up to it. More and more people are waking up to it. They're now trying to designate half of America as domestic terrorists. And I think that's going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back. I really do. I've got another news story here that I'd like to get into that comes from Britain concerning the removal of our statues. A city council in the UK is set to remove the statue of a British war hero after a Black Lives Matter inspired review determined that he represented colonialism and does not represent women and so-called gender non-binary people. Why on earth would people 100 years ago, 150 years ago, be putting up statues to gender non-binary people? They didn't exist 150 years ago. And everybody back then represented colonialism because Britain was a colonial empire. I mean, what are you supposed to do when you have an expanding population? Obviously, you have to go out and find new land. That's all colonialism was. It was going out into the world, finding land that had yet to be developed, moving there, and developing the land. And the people were quite happy to help out the natives as well, until the natives started making war on them, in the case of America. But in the case of the British Empire, we did all we could to improve these countries, to build infrastructure there, and to educate the peoples there so that one day they could govern themselves, which is what we did. We handed it all back to them. Why is it now seen as somehow being negative? Following nationwide Black Lives Matter protests over the summer, the Exeter City Council established an equality impact assessment to determine whether the statue honouring famed British General Sir Redvers Buller should be removed. The review found that General Buller's statue would negatively impact anyone who does not define themselves in binary gender terms, according to the Daily Mail. Absolutely incredible. So all our statues now have to have something on them that flatters non-binary genders, transgenders, not even sure what they mean by non-binary genders. The General Buller statue represents the patriarchal structures of empire and colonialism, which impact negatively on women and anyone who does not define themselves in binary gender terms, the review stated. So General Buller, for some reason, they don't actually say why, apparently he's anti-women. That's what they mean here. That's what they mean by non-binary gender. Women? Why don't they just say that they think he's a misogynist? The consultation will need to ensure that the views of women, transgender, and non-binary people are captured and given due weight, it continued. So I guess they want to just remove every statue that isn't of a transgender now? The review claimed that the statue was specifically targeted because of the inscription on the plinth, upon which it stands, and it states that Buller sought to advance British imperialist interests in other countries. Well, as I pointed out, Britain was an imperialist nation. It was the British Empire. You would have thought that everybody within Britain would have sought to advance the British imperialist cause. We had a sense of togetherness back then. We had a sense of community. We had a sense of all being a part of the same nation and all needing to do our best for that nation and all needing to set the best example that we could for the peoples in the countries that we were governing or that we were trading with. There was this big push to be the very best people that we could be. Britain was known for not being corrupt. Britain was known for administering proper justice and bringing peace and law and order to these countries. I seem to recall there was some survey that was done a while back, and it was who would you most like to be judged by in a court? And they said the British, because the British people had a reputation for being unbiased. And yet we're told today, oh no, this was a patriarchal structure of oppression, and it must be removed, and anybody who supports it, they have to be cancelled. Born Redvers Henry Buller on December the 7th, 1839, in the county of Devon, he joined the British Army as an officer and was later awarded the Victoria Cross, Britain's highest gallantry decoration, after he saved the lives of fellow soldiers while under enemy fire in the Second Zulu War. General Buller was later installed as the head of the British forces in South Africa during the Second Boer War. The war was controversial, but he was held in such high regard in his native Devon that he was given the freedom of country town Exeter and was bestowed a jewel-encrusted sword. His statue was also atypically erected during his lifetime and paid for in large part by public donations. That's the reason why there is a statue of this man. He was brave. He was courageous. He was so brave and courageous, he was awarded the Victoria Cross, and he was so well liked by the public that they paid for a statue to be created of him. Not because he was mean to transgenders. And this is the thing that they refused to actually look at the reason why these statues were put there. They refused to look at the witnesses from the time and what the witnesses actually said. There won't be any witnesses that said that he was mean to transgenders. The witnesses here said that they thought so highly of this man that they wanted to all club together and buy a statue for him. An honorary research fellow at the University of Exeter University, Dr. Todd Gray, said that Buller's only sin was being triumphant about empire. "We are reaping what we have sown in that society has ignored empire for so long, and people do not know their own history." I agree there. This is why we have our Greatest Britons series here at Radio Albion, to teach people our own history. General Buller's biographer, Keith Barker, said that accusations of sexism and racism levied at the British war hero are utter nonsense. "This man was always a great supporter of and campaigner for the many native communities he came across," he said, adding Buller had a powerful, radical, liberal streak. No doubt his views on sex and gender would have been somewhat unorthodox, but they would have represented those specifically of the era in which he lived. "Everything should be understood in its context, and to not do so is a historical travesty," he concluded. So once again, what we see here, we see another person high up in the British Empire who is reported to have been a massive supporter and campaigner for the native communities he came across, just like Major General Gordon, a big supporter of the natives, wanting to do his best for them. Nothing about oppressing them, nothing about slavery, nothing about patriarchy, but doing his best for these communities. The campaign to bring down the Buller statue follows another attempt to destroy a memorial to a misunderstood British Empire figure, Robert Baden-Powell, and we already have a Greatest Britons episode on Robert Baden-Powell, if people want to check that out. He was the founder of the Worldwide Scouting Movement, and a statue of the British military leader and youth advocate overlooking the island where the first ever scouting camp took place was due to be removed. But thanks to the pro-Baden-Powell protests that followed, the decision was subsequently reversed. During months of unrest last summer following the death of George Floyd in America, Black Lives Matter and other far-left activists targeted statues honouring British historical figures, including Sir Winston Churchill, Queen Victoria, and the National War Memorial, the Cenotaph. And we've covered all of those here at Radio Albion. American presidents George Washington and Abraham Lincoln, who freed the slaves in the United States, were also targeted during the iconoclastic Black Lives Matter campaign. And of course, this isn't about righting the wrongs of the past. This is about removing all representations of white people from the public realm. It's about removing representations of us and replacing them with representations of the newcomers, exactly as Sadiq Khan wants to do in London. In London, they have a committee that is looking into all the names of streets, names of places, statues, philanthropic namings of hospitals, all that sort of thing. And anything that has a connection to the British Empire, which obviously means all of it, he wants to remove, and he wants to replace it with representations of immigrants, the disabled, and homosexuals. So what he basically means is he wants to replace all the images of the people that were here before him and replace them with images of people that have moved there within the last generation. And where do you think they're going to go after they've removed all the statues? Who do you think they're going to be attacking then, after they've finished attacking the statues? Britain will look just like South Africa does now. That's what will happen then, if we don't do something about it now. And of course, I don't mean violent revolution as the solution. I mean a political solution. We need to wake people up to the truth about our history. We need to talk to people about the racial realities. We need to racialize people so that when there are attempts to pull down these statues, there are massive campaigns of pushback against it. There is an organization called Save Our Statues. If you look them up on Twitter, they are collecting together petitions and campaigns, and they're trying to identify everywhere in Europe, actually, where this is going on and where we have these anti-whites trying to pull down all the images and representations of the heroes of our past. So I do recommend people check them out and do support them as one way that we can fight against this. That's if the Save Our Statues Twitter account hasn't yet been removed or accused of inciting violence by trying to protect our statues, that is. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow, hopefully with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.